Kellogg, Melrose, Massachusetts, August 31st, 1904. Dr. Kellogg, dear brother, I have a most earnest desire that you shall stand on vantage ground. Recently, I have been unable to do much, but I have received special help from the great healer. He has given me power as I have borne my testimony before the people. During my stay in Philadelphia, I spoke twice, once in each of the tents pitched in that city. The Lord gave me strength to address those assembled, and I praise his holy name. Since coming to this place, I have spoken several times. A camp meeting is in progress about a mile from the sanitarium, and on Sabbath and Sunday afternoons and during the week, I spoke. The Lord gave me strength, and there was much of his spirit in the meeting. We leave Melrose before the meeting closes to attend a meeting in Connecticut. I shall be there for a few days only, as I am to attend a meeting in Omaha. I learned this morning that on our way to Omaha, we shall pass through Battle Creek, and since this is so, I thought that perhaps I could spend a day or two there. Could the church be gathered together sometime during the week? I should be glad to speak to them. I do not think I could stay over the Sabbath, for I have an appointment to speak at the Omaha meeting at that time. I have tried to write to you before, but have been too weary after speaking. Be assured that I received your letter with thanksgiving. I know that the Spirit of the Lord has been grieved and his name dishonored. But if you will carry out the work of repentance that you have begun, I will do my best to help in every way possible. The Lord would be greatly dishonored were his people to follow a course that would lead the people of the world to think that we were divided into two parties. To keep up an internal warfare would please the enemy and greatly retard the work that the Lord would have done in our world. I have said over and over again that there must be unity between the gospel ministry and the medical missionary work. If you and your associates draw off to do the work that you have been doing, I shall be compelled to publish the warnings that the Lord has been giving you for the past 20 years. The people in our conferences have not seen these warnings, but if this can be avoided by our blending together, much misinterpretation and misunderstanding will be saved. I have been charged that unless some change is made, I must publish these warnings to save the people of God from being led into strange and forbidden paths. I do not desire that this matter shall come before the world. By coming into line as you propose, you can save this. All that can be done now is to come into line. We can but suppose that the evil seed that has been sown will bring forth tares. But if you will act your part in the fear of God and for the love of souls, the Lord can overrule the matter for good. We shall certainly be approved of God if we avoid giving the world a chapter that it would be better they should never see. Will you not take your stand firmly upon the platform of eternal truth, living the truth before the world? Your associates will need to consider what course they should pursue, but you have your part to perform, as if there were not another person connected with you. I ask you to study the prayer of Christ as recorded in the 17th chapter of John. I hope, my dear brother, that you will see this prayer in its true character. It is a lesson by which our course of action is to be guided. It contains the science that will stand the test of ages. It is an illustration of the intercession that will stand, that Christ is making, and to the end of the world will continue to make for those who believe in him. The root of the sin that is in our world is an unbelief in Christ and an unwillingness to accept the truths that he came into our world to proclaim. Sin has made us aliens from God. The first step toward restoration is obedience to the words, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Isaiah 27, verse 5. A belief in Christ as a personal Savior is the only salvation provided for the sinner. 1 John 5, verse 1-5, 1:3-10. Christ died for us to make an atonement for our sins. He is now standing at his Father's right hand, pleading for us. To all who receive him, he will give power to become the sons of God. Had he not paid the redemption price for us, we could not be saved. But his intercessions prevail. He had power to take away our sins. He lives to make intercession. And because he lives, we shall live also if we are obedient to his will. He will keep us from falling. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Sanctification through the truth means unreserved surrender. In it there is increase, continuous and progressive, until grace is lost in glory. To the church in Battle Creek, I would say, there is a work to be done among you before you can be ready for the Lord's appearing. Do not exalt yourselves and disparage others as you have done in the past. Let every soul confess and forsake his own sins. We are living in the great day of atonement. Make diligent work for repentance. Your souls are in peril, but by confession and repentance you can be cleansed from sin. 1 John 2. Study the instruction that Christ has given. Criticize yourselves. Set your own hearts in order, for you have not a moment to lose.